When you invest in ETFs, your capital is at risk. This show is for professional investors only. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Thematic Matters, the new thematic investing podcast from Han ETF, Europe's most extensive thematic ETF issuer. So today I'm delighted to say we are joined by Frank Holmes, who's a CEO and Chief Investment Officer of US Global Investors. But crucially, Frank oversees the US Global Jets ETF, which in the US now has over $3 billion in AUM. So today we're going to talk about the airline theme. Frank, thanks for joining.
It's great to be with you.
So before we get started about kind of current trends, everything that's going on in the news and how it relates to the airline investment theme, maybe we get some background on the Jets ETF. So how and when did the idea first come about?
Well, the idea first came about because we are U.S. global investors and we have global resource funds, Eastern European Fund, China Fund, Gold Funds, and it was taking me all over the world. And I noticed that a third of my options in 2013-14 were taken away. There was just less flights available and the price of my tickets had doubled. And I said, what the heck is going on? And one of my directors, Tom Lydon, said I had to get in the ETF business. And there was no one in a global airlines business. There was no ETF on that theme. And so after all the research, it really impressed me that it was close to 9% of global GDP that's associated with travel and employing so many people in the US directly and indirectly. So then I went and approached it and came out with a quant product, and it was immediately successful and quickly climbed into about $100 million until COVID came along. It dropped about $40 million. And then it took off with all the millennials knowing everything with the airlines, betting that after every global crisis, we'd have a stock, airline stocks jump back about 100%. And Buffett was wrong, and all these millennial kids that came in were right.
You know, it's been amazing seeing the growth of the Jets ETF in the US. So I kind of maybe come back to the kind of COVID 2020 aspect. So I can imagine running an airline ETF in March 2020 when airline all flights are grounded must be quite nail biting. Could you kind of shed some light on what your thinking was at that time?
Well, it was very much nail biting, and I remember so vividly that the volume started to expand, but the ETF pricing wasn't going anywhere. It was $11 to $12. And but the volume went from 40,000 shares a day to 400,000 in April. And then by May, it was up to 800,000 shares a day. A couple of weeks ago, we traded 30 million. Let's just give you an idea of the magnitude. And money kept flowing into it. It was the biggest volume trader. And what I found out was that like a lot of Robinhood investors at the time, you could get the data. It's subsequently it stopped being able to provide it, but you could see how many people were becoming Jets investors. And all of a sudden it was 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 and growing. And what's really important is the millennials and the ecosystem. The millennials coming in are small. They're like minnows. If you think of the ecosystem of the ocean and the Great Barrier Reef where the waves are hitting and it's a very dynamic life, you need to have the minnows coming in because that attracts the barracudas and the sharks and the tunas and then the whales. So you get this big ecosystem that's robust. And the Jets ETF, you could just see the growth of all of a sudden many institutions started coming in, and most of Wall Street or all of Wall Street's analysts were bearish on the airlines. But all these young people were coming in, were using YouTube to get their analytics. And also, am I reaching out to many of these people like Sam Chu with 2.5 million followers? You have DJ Aviation of the UK, and I find out it's a 19-year-old kid with 300,000 subscribers and has all this rich detail on the airlines. So these weren't just silly speculators. They had done the research that after 9/11, airlines fell 70% and then rebounded 80%. After 2003, we had SARS, same thing, global drop in airlines and boom, back doubles in the next 12 months. And after 2008-9 crisis, global crisis, airlines fell and then came right back. So a lot of them were betting that the vaccine would get would be implemented, to be the solution to this crisis would be found. And then you had regular Bill Miller coming on, one of the greatest fund managers ever, the only guy to beat the S&P for almost 18 years in a row consistently, was betting on the airlines. And so you had institutional money coming in, and he said, if you believe in they're going to find a vaccine, then you've got to bet on the airlines. Buffett panicked because Buffett was turning 90 years old. He blew all of his stock out, and all of a sudden the Jets took off from 12 to 13 to 14 and ran all the way up to the 20s to 28. And then it corrected with the next wave of fear of coronavirus. But I think the worst is behind us. And I think the next big uptick is going to take place with what's happening in the UK by just opening up all the borders and stopping these draconian lockdowns.
Yeah, we'll definitely we'll come on to the current situation a bit later. I just want to talk more about kind of the evolution of Jets. And so it seems like one of the most disruptive, or maybe the most disruptive events for global air travel was a positive for actually an ETF tracking that entire industry. Obviously, we saw the airline stocks recover since, but kind of the interest, it seems, came about during that time.
Well, what happened, you know, it's interesting you ask the question, because it released the TSA in March or April at the bottom of this sort of crisis, and the lockdown starting, with a daily report of how many people they cleared. And so the TSA in the US was clearing 2.7 million people a day to fly. 2 million was domestic, 700,000 was inbound from Europe, from Asia, and from Latin America. And this fell down to less than 90,000 people from 2.7 million. If you go look at the data, the only airport that was really open, the busiest in the world, was Anchorage, because Anchorage was flying all these medical equipments, masks and gloves, from Asia to Alaska. And then from Alaska, it was going into Europe, and it was going down to the US and then going down to Latin America. So I thought that was like April the 15th was the all-time low in number of people flying, but Anchorage was the busiest airport in the world. This report coming up by the TSA was really important for quant funds, because you could see that they were all of a sudden applying moving averages. And as the moving average came off the bottom and went above the 50-day moving, then all of a sudden more fund flow started coming in with institutional money into the airlines, into the Jets ETF. And then we saw some hedge funds were short in a big, big way American Airlines, and they were going long Jets as a hedge. So you had speculators believing it was going to take off. You had people shorting individual airlines. The reason why they're going after American Airlines was because they were that they themselves were unhedged in their oil business, and they had the most debt. So the crisis there was pretty quite pronounced on the debt. So what happened, interesting enough, come June, after Buffett made his statements, they took off. And there was massive short covering in American Airlines. And then you could just see that speculators coming in into Jets at a very rapid rate.
Interesting. Just before we kind of carry on in terms of current events and stuff, I wanted to maybe just get into a bit more detail on what actually is in the index that the ETF tracks, the US Global Jets Index. So,
Here is the structure. It's important to recognize. We wanted to beat the New York Stock Exchange Global Airline Index. That was the bogey.
Yeah.
And thinking of a sporting match on the football field, and who are the strikers and defenders, and how do you match them up against the competition? And that's sort of the strategy when we started looking at the individual stock factors and rising airlines and falling airlines, and which factors are the most robust of picking the stocks. And then we did a demographic study of looking at what percentage of people that it represents. So we found that the four big airlines, United, American, Delta, and Southwest, they captured about 65% of all travel in America, and even a higher portion of international inbound coming from American, Delta, and United from Europe into the U.S. So with that, the structure was made that they were 40% of the portfolio. And then after that, and they would just mean revert every quarter, and they were the most liquid names. Then after that, we started having who's more attractive from a fundamental basis, Airbus or Boeing. And then it was airports. So you find that a lot of the airports are only 50 basis points. But outside of the U.S., there's many of the airports are public, like De Gaulle is public, Cancun, Beijing, Thailand. There are so many of these airports that are highly correlated to airline traffic, and they are basically run like private equity, those investments. So they were taking a good portion of the portfolio. And then we could see quickly other global airlines that have the fastest growth in revenue per share and have the least expensive on an enterprise value. So that was created this incredible product that was recalibrating every quarter like it was active because of all the moving parts, but it was very quant driven.
Interesting. And then another aspect, just kind of when it's it, see, fair amount of US exposure, wouldn't expect anything less, but also Europe, but the Asia exposure seems relatively small. Could you go into detail on the geographic breakdown?
Yeah, if you look at Asia, in particular China, it's had the most severe lockdowns. I'll give you an interesting observation is that the more left or socialist the country, we're going to the ultimate of communist country like China, the more severe the lockdowns. And interesting to see New Zealand and Australia, say, versus Canada. They were even more severe. And Canada had its own enough of it. But you can go into Europe and see Eastern Europe, who is more open borders and faster. And I'm just thrilled to see the UK basically dropped everything and open for business.
And then in terms of the companies, you mentioned kind of several of the big ones and then also this kind of different weighting scheme. I mean, just right now, top three stocks in the portfolio by weighting, just for our listeners to know.
Well, the top four are United, Delta, American, and Southwest.
Okay.
They are the biggest player. But here's what's really interesting. Business travel hasn't taken off yet, but we did get back over 2 million people a day flying in the U.S., even with the slowdown of Asia and some of the Latin American countries. But it is improving, and I think what's happening in Europe. But what the airlines did do is that there were many new airlines that were launched. And that was a real shocker. And two was that it were predominantly for tourism. And what we found was that everyone in England, they wanted to get south. They want to get some warm. They're off to Portugal. Go to Spain. Go to Italy. Get out of that cold, that damp weather. And in the U.S., they started reconfiguring the United Airlines, et cetera, from small cities in Pennsylvania, Indiana, Illinois, flying them to Texas and Florida to get out of the cold weather. And the same thing happened in Washington, Seattle, Portland. There were more flights and tourism going to the southern tip of California and Arizona. So we did see that tourism travel was the first real big explosion. The business travel started to make a big comeback until Christmas. But I think it's just going to have a huge summer on the travel industry, and especially out of Europe is going to be the airlines are going to have a big positive turn in profitability.
Yeah, no, that's definitely seems likely that as you say, the UK approach may be adopted more widely across Europe, and we might get a lot more travel. I suppose then this is kind of one of the big positive tailwinds for the airline industry. Is that being reflected in current prices?
I know. No, it's interesting. I think as the conflict starts to build, as more borders open up, then you will start to see jets get revisited. And I think that this has a potential to go up 50%. It's more volatile, but I really think that for investors, there's traders, it has a complete ecosystem. And it's now listed in Mexico City. Jets is listed in Peru and in Chile. Pension funds there can buy it for investors. And we're exploring other jurisdictions. And just like it's grown in Europe, and I think that you're going to see that as the TSA numbers rise, and they'll be reporting how much is coming out of Europe, that will all of a sudden ignite. But here's what's an interesting factoid is that one of the largest institutions is Israel. The largest insurance company is one of the largest investors in Jets ETF. in the one listed in New York. So I think in the UK, we're going to get this big bite in with institutions coming in as this is the best proxy for global travel.
Just in terms of the, you mentioned obviously business travel and obviously leisure tourism. I think where are we at with business travel right now and where do you see it recovering? There's been some notes out and some research about small businesses are much more likely to come back with business travel, whereas large corporations are much more hesitant. Could you walk us through kind of what the situation is?
Well, what I did see, you know, one of the biggest investment conferences in the world has been Bitcoin events. And, right. And I did see in Miami, 15,000 people spending $1,500 a ticket. And many of them came from Europe. There's nonstop flights from Switzerland to Miami, from the UK. And so there was many institutions that had flown rather than using Zoom. They wanted to feel the energy of the room. And so that to me was a very positive sign. You know, it's an expensive conference to go to. It was cheaper to fly than buy the ticket to get into the conference. And so I think that we do know from executive business travel that private jets are sold out. You can't get them. It's very, very difficult. If you want to buy a new jet, you have to wait a couple of years, and you want to go buy a secondhand, it's hard to find the pilots. And why? Because business travel for very big transactions at very high end. So before we had much more slack where in 2018 and 19 in the private jet market. So what'll happen is that people do want to come and meet. They want to feel the energy, cut the deals, and we'll start to see the business travel taking off. Now, it's bottomed, but is not on a big tear. But I think that we'll see that by the summer.
One thing I've seen recently is that some U.S. airlines have started allowing alcohol to be sold again mid-flight. Now, this is something I'd never really considered before, but there's all these different extra parts of a airline's kind of revenue, which, you know, changed because of COVID. Could you kind of walk us through all this?
So what you're inquiring about, which is really important, and something that when I was launching Jets that I saw this incredible important trend called ancillary fees. Mm. And these ancillary fees really start to grow at double-digit rates after 2013. And one of the big parts was credit cards. $1 billion a quarter for Delta with Amex, and American Airlines had the biggest with Visa. So this loyalty program through credit card business, and it started to grow. And as demand picked up with business travel in 2017 and 18, we saw, if you want to change your ticket, cost you a fee. If you want to move around from economy to mid-tier, that you had another fee, and then business class was another tier. There were so many fees coming in that these ancillary fees went from $10 billion to $100 billion. Now, they fell down to about $30 billion level, and I think they're on their way back up. So this is high margin additional fees. What they did see is that there was lots of people really bad manners on flights. And so the thought process was alcohol that was doing it. But most of the time people were getting on the flight already intoxicated from travel, from going crazy to Cancun and getting back on the plane. So I think the airlines are trying to get that they can sell alcohol again, but do a better screening at the airport. So not just worried about COVID, they see anyone swaying while they're trying to come on the airplane, they're kicking them off. If anyone has foul language in the airport, they won't let them on the airplane. So I think that that's the sort of solution they're looking at.
And then more broadly, why should someone want to be a long-term investor in the global airline industry?
In the crypto world, they call it HODL, hold on for dear life. And so if you're a long-term investor, betting on the airlines industry is betting on global economic growth. And it's a lot less expensive when you look at other travel modes, such as trains and trucks. These modes of transportation are much more expensive to buy on a PE ratio, a cash flow basis, and the airlines is a lot less expensive for the GARP. If you're a GARP investor, that means growth at a reasonable price. And if you're betting that we're going to have a huge turn globally in a year from now, which I believe is going to take place, then jets is just a great way to bet on the future.
Another aspect I wanted to ask you about was obviously, before COVID, if someone was to ask what one of the big potential headwinds to the airline industry was, they would suggest the kind of the ESG aspect. And as we know, more and more investors care about ESG.
That's a great question, because you've seen that a lot of the ESG policies were drafted by non-engineers, by political NGOs driving politicians to drive it. And it's caused a huge energy crisis in Germany. So they quickly shut down all the nuclear reactors. Where are they going to get the electricity from? Yeah. So this has been a horrific winter. So this weekend, you saw that the EU is changing the definition that nuclear energy is not bad, and neither is natural gas. The other crisis they created was this: they made them totally reliable on Russia. And so it comes back to the story that you hear in the U.S. is that a lot of these NGOs that are running around, creating what they call FUD, spreading fear, uncertainty, and doubt, are funded by Russia, so that Europe is more dependent on the Russians. And so I think this ESG is going to go through several morphing, because it wasn't designed by engineers around the world. So it's an evolving what is not and what is going to be. But I'm happy to see that even with that, this just took place this past weekend, the airlines are working on mixtures of with organic, with other types of like corn, etc., ethanol. They're working on other methods of dropping that carbon footprint. So we are seeing that, and that's positive and constructive. But I think it's going to be not a panic button that it was becoming now, because of the difficulties that Europe has put itself in a position of dealing with Russia for natural gas.
Interesting. And then we're just kind of out of time nearly. So just to sum up, in 1 or 2 minutes, could you explain why an investor should want exposure to the global airlines industry right now?
It's the future. It's a betting on the future. And I'm an optimist. I just really believe that people want to travel. People want to get to warmer weather. The curious want to travel and go to the pyramids, or they want to go to other places to explore. And it's just part of that DNA. And the rising GDP per capita globally really is a big supporting factor for global airline growth. And that's something that we've seen. If we go back 30 years ago, China and India, which is 40% of the world's population, did not show up in the top 10 GDP per capita. Today they are. So you're seeing new airlines, you're seeing travel exploding in India. There's no doubt when China slows down and all their lockdowns, that the future is talking about China is going to be the biggest airline destination. And we did see Chinese tourism all through Europe prior to COVID. They were huge all through wherever I was in Salzburg, I was in London, and nothing but Chinese tourists everywhere. And that's all because of rising GDP per capita. So I think when we come through this, we're going to see the biggest explosion in tourism, pent up demand to go and see the British Isles and go to every other jurisdiction in the world. So I've remained very positive.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Frank. That was very interesting. And thanks everyone else for listening. And then please join us next time.